Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me.
My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer.
I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity.
I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found.
Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble.
You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go.
I will counsel you with my eye upon you.
Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding. Many are the sorrows of the wicked.
But steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord.
Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous.
And shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble.
You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 4. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When was the last time that you were tempted? Could have been anything, of course, right? Was it maybe this morning you were tempted to stay in bed rather than to come and hear the word? Maybe it was actually on the way here and maybe you were running a little bit late and you were tempted to go a bit faster than you should have, maybe. No matter what it was, whatever temptation it was that you struggled with, have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus suffered the same temptations? Even just think of something as simple as taking cookies. Jesus was at one point a child, just like we were at one point children. And he would have been tempted, just like us, to perhaps grab something that Mary had made that he shouldn't have grabbed yet. But he was tempted without sin. He didn't give in to it. Or even just think about that he was a man. Or maybe you could even think about it like there was a point in time where Jesus was a teenage boy, that his hormones would have been running around wild just like every other teenager's hormones were running around. And yet, he was without sin. The examples can, of course, go on and on and on. And a fair question is, well, what's the point of all this? And the point, according to our epistle reading for today, is that Jesus is our great high priest, but that he's one who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Let's start about with talking about what it means that he was the high priest. The office of high priest was one of the most important offices in Israel. It is so important that it existed long before there were kings or judges or any of that. Its purpose, given by God to Moses, was to serve as kind of the primary intercessor between Israel and their God, particularly for the sacrifices. The high priest was the one who would have been in charge of overseeing all of the sacrifices that happened in the tabernacle before they managed to get to the promised land, and in the temple, when the temple was finally built by Solomon. And that was what he did. He served as the one who kind of brought the sacrifices from the people to God, and the one who then brought the forgiveness from God to the people. He also then would have served as the one who brought the prayers that go along with those sacrifices. He is the one who stood between God and man. We see this perhaps most clearly in the Day of Atonement, which would have been that one day a year where the high priest gathered together the entire people of God, and there would have been multiple sacrifices going on, but probably the important one for our purposes was the scapegoat, where the high priest would have laid his hands on the scapegoat and would have transferred sort of all the sins from the people of Israel onto that goat and then sent the goat out into the wilderness. A symbol of God sending the sin of the people away into the wilderness. And then the high priest would have taken the blood of another goat that would have been sacrificed, or at least I think it was a goat. It's either a goat or the bull. And they would have sprinkled it on the people. And the blood would have landed on them, and that would have been another sign of them being cleansed of their sin. And that was the job of the high priest. But again, we can even see this in prayer, right? That he is the one who they would have brought their prayers to him, and then he would have taken those prayers to God. He was also supposed to be of the line of Aaron, a Levite. And this is of particular interest because Jesus was not of the line of Aaron and was not a Levite. But if you keep on reading from our text, the author of Hebrews there explains that that's because Jesus is a priest of the order of Melchizedek. And we could go really deep into what exactly that means. But long story short, Jesus was a priest of an older order than even the Levitical priesthood was. Melchizedek shows up in Genesis during the time of Abraham. And we hear then that Jesus is a priest like he was, rather than being a priest like an Aaron or the Levites were. And so that is the kind of priest that we have now. But we also note that now that Jesus is the high priest, that we don't need anyone else. We don't need any more high priests. And hopefully this should be obvious because of the simple fact that Jesus is still alive. The reason that we needed to have more than one high priest in the Old Testament was because the former high priest would die. And so then somebody, many times his son, would have then been needed to rise up and be the high priest again, to serve the duties. But Jesus, though he died, himself rose up again. He, even now, is serving as our high priest in the throne room of God. And therefore, we need no other high priests. And in fact, we need no other priests at all. His death permanently opened the lines of communication between us and God. He served as such a good intercessor, as such a good intermediary, that we can ourselves come before God in our prayers and with our sacrifices. We ourselves are able to pray to the Lord of all creation, and because of what Jesus did for us, because Jesus is right there by the Creator's side, right there by our side as we pray, we know that He hears us and that He answers us. We know that because of the blood that He shed, not a goat's blood, not a bull's blood, but His own actual blood as that final sacrifice that we needed, that He Himself went out into the wilderness like a scapegoat, which you heard in our gospel reading. That because He has done all of these things, that the forgiveness of God is now all of ours. That the forgiveness of our God is always flowing for us. That our Lord is always sprinkling us with His blood in order that we would be clean. And that because of that, because Jesus is our high priest, because we have been cleansed, we no longer have to fear going before our God in prayer. And maybe it's worth mentioning that there is some reason that we can see in the Old Testament for why people would be afraid of going to their God in prayer. It is a terrifying thing to be a sinner standing before the true and pure God who punishes sinners. That's part of what it means that God is good, that He punishes evildoers, and when we confess that we are sinners, when we recognize that truth, we recognize the truth that we are evildoers who have no right to stand before God, no right to appeal His decisions, none of that. He is correct. We are sinners. We are evil doers. We are weak. And that truth can sometimes make it hard for us to pray even now today. It can make it hard because sometimes we'll feel like we're not worthy. We'll feel like we haven't been forgiven. And this idea goes directly against what God tells us, which is one of the signs that we can't always rely on our feelings. We can't always rely on our thoughts, because sometimes we'll think that we are so bad that we need something more than the blood of Jesus, which simply isn't true. But maybe that's not the only reason that we sometimes have a hard time praying. Maybe sometimes we have a hard time praying because we're too proud. Because we think we can take care of it ourselves. Because we don't think we need to call God in. Maybe even we think that we're weak if we pray. I think we've seen a little bit of that in the world now. At which point, maybe we should remember the truth that Jesus was tempted just like we were. That we should remember the truth that though He was tempted, though He had the same desires that we have, though the devil himself came and tried to trick Jesus, just like he came and tricked Adam and Eve, that Jesus succeeded where we failed. Maybe that rankles you a little bit. Maybe that's hard for you to hear, that we in fact need his help and that we can't do it on our own. Because we do. There is no room for us to boast before God. There is no room for us to be too proud to pray. But I'm not sure if that's all that big of a struggle for us. I honestly think that the reason that we don't pray as much as we should is because we just forget. We forget to pray. We forget that we have a God in heaven who is there with us every step of the way, who wants to help us, who proved that when he died on the cross, when our great high priest sacrificed himself for you. I think we forget. I think we forget that we can come before that man and bring our cares to him, bring our concerns to him, bring the things that we're annoyed about, bring the things that we're angry about. We can bring everything to him. And get this, he actually wants us to. He wants us to bring these things to him. There is no thing too little as far as he is concerned. And you'll recognize this when you pray with children, right? Children will just pray about anything. And that's good. That's the way it's supposed to be. And there's also no thing too big to bring to him. Nothing that is more powerful than he is. Even though there's plenty of things that are more powerful than we are. And when you bring these things to him, he'll understand. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to be a child under sinful parents. He knows what it's like to be a teenager trying to learn how to control yourself. He knows what it's like to be a man trying to preach the truth, trying to share the word with those around him, and it seeming like the world is against him at every stage. He knows all of these things. He knows what it's like to be a weak human being. And so then, when you bring these cares to him, when you bring these concerns, when you bring whatever to him, you're free to remind yourself that he knows, that you can rely on him. You can bring your sins before him, and you can know that he will forgive you. That's why he died. He did the hard part already, and now he is giving that forgiveness to you. You can bring your worries to him, and he will address them. And you can know that he will do it all for your good, so that even if you do ask for the wrong thing, he'll still do the best thing for you. You can trust him to make the right decision when you don't know what the right decision is. And you can come to him for strength, to resist as he did. And he will grant it to you. He will give you the way out of temptation that he has promised to give to you. Your Lord, your great high priest, has promised that when you come to him, that when you confess your sins, that when you pray in his name, that he will grant you the mercy and grace that you need. For he has already earned it for you. And you are free to ask him for it. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.